This is Morning Edition on WNIJ. I'm Dan Klefstad with part two of our winter book series. Today we'll meet Katie Andrasky, author of The River Caught Sunlight. It's a novel about a devoutly Christian woman named Janice Westfall who re-examines her faith while working as a publicist in the Christian publishing industry. Katie Andrasky, welcome to Morning Edition.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. Your book is set in the early 1980s, during the time when you also worked as a publicist in the Christian books industry. Describe the industry at this time and the changes it was going through.
The Christian book industry was very much a ghetto at the time. People publicized the books through Christianity Today, Moody Press, and Moody Monthly. And when I got on the scene, I caught this vision that it would be very interesting to try to make some of these books crossover books. And the company that I worked with wanted to promote and produce high-quality Christian fiction, and that's basically why I went to work for them.
Now, a main point of contention at the time, especially for evangelical writers, was that mainstream publishers and other gatekeepers were shutting out writers who opposed abortion and had other conservative values on social issues. But that was also a factor at that time.
It was a bone of contention for me because I disagreed with what they were saying. Basically, these publishers were shut out because they didn't follow the rules of presenting the books. For pre-publication, you have to send the books 3 months ahead of time, you know, in galley form, and you have to fill out the forms. And it's basically clerical. So it was more like they were ghettoized themselves.
So at the time, you were on essentially the front lines of introducing Christian books to the mainstream market. And this is where you put your protagonist, Janice Westfall. Now, during the time Janice is fighting on behalf of evangelical authors, she struggles in her personal life. She's in love with a farmer and occasional demolition worker named Caleb, who is in no hurry to marry her. Janice's mother is dying of cancer, and Janice feels guilty about pursuing this career that takes her away from the family farm in upstate New York, a farm bordered by the Norman's Kill River. She actually bottles some of the Norman's Kill water so it can travel with her on her latest tour, promoting a book by an activist named Jeremiah Sackfield, who we meet in Chapter 2. I would like you to read the part where Janice and Jeremiah have lunch with a wealthy supporter, and we'll talk after that.
Okay. Chapter 2, August 1983, Tybee Island, Georgia. Who said ocean air was refreshing? To Janice Westfall, it smelled like rotted weeds. She wanted the smell of fresh-cut hay, square and stacked loosely enough for air currents to find their way, cooling it so the barns wouldn't burn. She'd felt it, that heat, when she struck her hand between bales, a simmering, fragrant heat. For 2 weeks, she'd heard Jeremiah's spiel about how the United States was going to hell in a handbasket if Christians didn't get active in government, media, university teaching, and law. The country needed a Christian revolution, Jeremiah proclaimed. For Janice, Sackfield was a showman, an opportunist, and she was his enabler. She helped promote his book, An American Treatise, onto the Christian bestseller list. Thank God the tour was done, except for this last meeting with laundry magnate Matthew Sparks, who promised to buy some books. They were sitting at the Crab Shack, a seafood joint outside of Savannah, Georgia, carapaces of lobster and crab claws piled up around them. The owners weren't kidding. The place was a shack with peanut shells on the floor and screens for windows so the ocean could waft its salt braises through the place. Jeremiah shook a crab claw. The violence of the 60s blew the evils of segregation to smithereens and pulled us out of Vietnam, another evil. Wait until these people read An American Treatise. We might see some action, in the very least a tax revolt that might shut down the government. He was dark, intense, even though he was blonde and blue-eyed. Boyish, until you listened a while, Janice thought. She was bored, turning her eyes out toward the water. She thought of Caleb. Right about now, he would be driving his tractor across alfalfa, the pump of his balers kicking the hay into the tight, square bales. Janice slid her hand into her briefcase and tipped the bottle of Norman's Kill water over her finger and touched the water to her neck like perfume. It smelled rusty like rain as it taps the ground. Do you know what these are? Matthew Sparks leaned towards Jeremiah, holding innocuous-looking twists of wire and paper. His eyes, his hair, his slightly sunburned skin seemed more off color than she first thought. Janice hadn't gotten a bead on him because his face kept slipping from one emotion to another, even though his voice remained jovial and relaxed. Blasting caps, Janice blurted, recognizing the dangerous sticks powerful enough to blow off their faces.
A hint of things to come. Janice has misgivings about Jeremiah's support for violence, even though he doesn't specifically call for acts of violence. So around the time Janice gets Jeremiah on the Today Show, a huge accomplishment, she also schedules an interview with a book reviewer who opposes this new wave of Christian revolutionaries. The reviewer, Jim Sanders, means to expose Jeremiah as a dangerous radical, and Janice is conflicted about betraying Jeremiah's trust. How close is this part of the story to your own experience at that time?
It's very close.
I was so afraid of what these guys were doing that I would kind of turn tail and go and talk to the journalists and say, these guys are talking revolution. They're very, very scary. You should listen to them. You should listen to me. He ran some stories. He ran a full page on Francis Schaeffer. He ran some shorter things about Christian fiction. They saw a good story. They kept my confidence so that, you know, my company at the time didn't appear to know that I was doing this.
Remind our audience of Francis Schaeffer, who he was at that time.
Francis Schaeffer was an evangelical theologian that had become very popular. He and his wife, Edith, had a book that they published and a movie called Whatever Happened to the Human Race that they did with C. Everett Koop, who eventually became Ronald Reagan's
Surgeon General.
Surgeon General.
Well, like your character, Janice Westfall, you left the Christian publishing industry to become a teacher. What specifically made you leave the publishing business?
I was fired. There was a book that I disagreed with about AIDS, and it was very troubling. And I had asked the author some questions that were basically, I thought they were innocent, like, you know, how do you earn your money? And the next week I walked in and they said that you can no longer promote our books. They had also were coming out with a book that would become a big bestseller called This Present Darkness that gave me nightmares because it was kind of like a Christian horror story that emphasized demons. And I think that Christians should be emphasizing Jesus.
Katie Andrasky is the author of The River Caught Sunlight. At WNIJ.org, you can hear her read another excerpt from her novel. Katie Andrasky, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.